From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters, life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with Dale Ahlquist, president of the Society of Gilbert Keith Chesterton and editor of The Story of the Family, G.K. Chesterton on the only state that creates and loves its own citizens. Let's now join Hank Hanegraaff and Dale Ahlquist in their conversation.
Chesterton argued, the effect of frivolous divorce will be frivolous marriage. If the father and mother do not maintain the dignity and fortitude of the vow, you know, that's what breaks up families. But what leads to that is interfering with the marriage act. You know, the right place for sex, this mysterious and beautiful thing, is within marriage. If it's outside of marriage, it becomes a less than sacred act because it's going to be interfering with the process of life itself. And when you start interfering with life, then you start doing war on life. Either you are defending it or you will be attacking it. You'll become the champion against it. Again, his prophetic insight. This is in, you know, writing about this in the 1920s, you know, long before the advent of the acceptance of contraception. It was already being discussed then. And he said, the effect of contraception will be abortion, but it will also be sexual perversion. It'll be divorce. It will be objectifying women and treating women with disrespect because we've lost the right use of sex. He says the moment that sex ceases to be a servant, it becomes a tyrant. And we are living under that tyranny right now, the tyranny of sex.
Yeah, indeed. Something I want to get to right now, Dale, is something that I found very interesting in the book, where G.K. Chesterton says that the wage system, read capitalism, has played an outsized role in breaking up the family. Now, that seems like a very controversial remark at first blush. I mean, you think, what do you want, socialism? You know, I mean, I believe in Christian capitalism, responsibility associated with wealth. So I start reading that, and I read that with consternation at the very beginning. But then as I made my way through the material, it started making sense, because in one way, capitalism is taking you out of the very role that you were designed for. So you end up working for a conglomerate or an organization instead of working for the family, which is your primary duty. And as Chesterton points out, the man may be the head of the house, but the woman is the heart of the house. What she brings to the table in educating children cannot be replaced by a nanny, by a school, by the state, or by anything else.
Yeah, and just as he objected to women being taken out of the home, he objected really to men being taken out of the home. The idea that the craftsmanship of the father, the skill of the father, is in service of the family and not in service of someone else, really. And his criticisms of big government are equally applied to big business. There's little difference between someone sitting at a desk in a large office building, if it's owned by a corporation or if it's a government agency. It's really the same effect. You're being a wage earner, and you are, as Chesterton says, as soon as you're a wage earner, you're basically a wage slave.
But we call that liberation.
Yeah, we call it liberation. That's what the feminists called it, right? His great joke, he said 10,000 women marched through the streets saying, we will not be dictated to, and they went off and became stenographers. And that's, you know, the idea of going to work for someone else is not freedom. It's a form of slavery. And he says the opposite of employment is not unemployment. The opposite of employment is independence. The free family should be, as much as possible, self-sufficient family. And, you know, craftsmen who are independent and are not beholden to the monthly paycheck that does not translate into freedom at all. And that's, this is really a different way of thinking for the modern world. But Chesterton is something that he promoted for his entire life, along with several of his colleagues, the idea that the family is the center of the society, so it should also be the center of economics. The word economics refers to the home anyway. Everything should be coming out from the family, not the family serving something else.
I mentioned the mystical mirror at the beginning of the podcast. I wish you could flesh that out a little bit, the significance of that mystical mirror, which has a direct impact on the concept of family.
Well, you know, first of all, he says Christianity has always been a domestic religion because it started with the Holy Family. And yet there is also the mystical reflection of the Trinity. You know, you have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the Trinity. The reflection of that triangle is father, mother, and child. And he describes in Orthodoxy how the Trinity, which is the great mystery, the unfathomable mystery, is that God himself is a society, as it were. He means it with no disrespect or bad theology, that God is this united one. And because of, it's the love of God that is the binding force of God. And it's the same thing of the family, that it's love that is the binding force of the family. And what love does is it sacrifices itself and it creates. That's what love does. It sacrifices itself and it's creative. And that's what Christ does with the church. That's what with the husband does with the wife. The result of their love is life. It's a life-giving thing. And when you think of the family in those terms, you realize, okay, this is a profound theological truth. It's not just simply biology. It's a profound theological truth because you're not talking about just bodies. You're talking about souls. You know, bringing a child into the world is a religious act. You're bringing a new soul to give praise to God. His description of, he says every time a new baby is born, it's as if God has created a new sun and a new moon because there's a new set of eyes looking at the same sun and the moon. But just think, creation has started all over again because there's a new soul appreciating creation. That's deeply mystical.
That's deeply mystical, and it is beautiful. When you look at the devolution of Western civilization from the perspective of Chesterton, he makes the observation that people are not usually individually convinced, but they're collectively influenced. The point being that sheep are not necessarily following a wicked shepherd as much as they're following each other. Now, that's a profound insight in and of itself.
Yeah, I remember reading that the first time, and just kind of my jaw dropping open. Of course, sheep follow each other. That's what they do. That's why they need a shepherd. And we are, you know, especially with the modern world, and this is Chesterton's great criticism of this commercialized society we live in, is everyone just follows each other. And that's why bad ideas get promulgated so easily.
You have a great chapter on love and sex, and you've already alluded to this, but Chesterton, as you mentioned, is committed to the sacramental idea of sex, and it is much less understood today than it was in centuries before, and probably much less than it will be in centuries that follow this century. The sacramental nature of family, of love, of sex, it is a picture of Christ and the church.
Yeah, and here's G.K. Chesterton, a man who he and his wife were unable to have children. It's one of the great tragedy of their own lives that they couldn't have children. And yet they knew that children are really the purpose of marriage, is to have children and create a family. And so they did basically a substitute for that by having foster children and having other people's children stay at their houses for an extended period of time, because they wanted not only the joy of children around them, but the chaos of children around them. And they had several godchildren, and it did fill their lives with other people's children once they realized they couldn't have any of their own. But for him to understand that this was the purpose of the marriage act, was to be creative, And that's what love creates, as we said before. He knew that even though he and his wife, you know, could not create life together, which is what they knew that's what they were made to do. But he really was so insightful in pointing that out in a world that was losing really what the role of sex is in marriage. It just continued to be downgraded from that time of a century ago to our place where we're experiencing it right now. But boy, did he see it coming 100 years ago.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with scholar Dale Ahlquist. In 1912, G.K. Chesterton wrote, "If marriage is attacked today, it will not be because it is a lingering tyranny, but because it is the last of the free institutions." Later, he wrote, "The essential of marriage is that a free man and a free woman choose to found on earth the only voluntary state, the only state which creates and loves its own citizens. Yet hardly anybody dares to defend the family. The world around us has accepted a social system that denies the family. It will sometimes help the child in spite of the family, the mother in spite of the family, the grandfather in spite of the family. It will not help the family." Be sure to read The Story of the Family, G.K. Chesterton on the Only State That Creates and Loves Its Own Citizens, edited by Dale Ahlquist. To receive your copy of The Story of the Family, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
For decades, Hank Hanegraaff has shared the truth of the historic Christian faith by answering questions over the radio, defending the faith through the written word, and preaching from pulpits around the globe. Today, he is ready to share his life in Christ, as detailed in his most profoundly personal piece of penmanship to date, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Hank feels closer to Christ than ever before and wants you to learn from his experiences as recounted in Truth Matters, Life Matters More, so that you can join him on life's greatest journey, the journey toward union with God in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Let's rejoin Bible Answer Man host Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Chesterton scholar Dale Ahlquist, in their conversation.
He also talks about the insanity of the phrase free love.
Yeah. It's what we said before. Freedom exists within the walls, but when you are in love, the first thing you want to do is bind yourself. You want to bind yourself to the beloved. The young lovers, the first thing, they want to carve their initials in the tree. They want to do something permanent. They want to tie themselves together. And there's no such thing as free love. Love is about making a bond. And it's Chesterton taking a common phrase and turning it around and showing it, that's not what it is.
And that's true of so many phrases in the book. There are phrases that are discussed that they sound innocuous. They almost have a positive ring to it, like Planned Parenthood, although that's not mentioned in the book, but it has a positive ring to it, but it has a very seamy underside.
Well, birth control is the one that he talks about in the book. Yeah. Birth control, he says, there's no birth and there's no control. It's the worst phrase in the world.
Yeah, and he also says that there's an insanity within the family when the family is so rife for disruption or fracturing or breaking apart. A person disapproves of church vows, he says, and then he insists on taking them. Then he insists on breaking them. Then he insists on receiving the same blessing for breaking them as for taking them, and finally takes them all over again with the utmost sincerity or solemnity.
Yeah, that's from his book, The Superstition of Divorce, which is, he was really coming out against the easy acceptance of divorce, of making it legal very easy. And the ritual of divorce and remarriage. You make this eternal vow, you break the vow. Sorry, didn't mean that eternal vow. And now I'm going to make it again, still want the blessing that we, didn't live up to last time. Chesterton says that mailing a postcard and making the marriage vow are supposed to have the same romance to them, that you can't undo them after you've done it. After you've mailed that card, that's it. You've made that commitment. And the marriage vow was supposed to be the same way. And as I quoted the line earlier, if divorce is easy, then marriage becomes meaningless. Marriage is supposed to be a relationship as unbreakable as any other familial relationship, as brother and sister. It's supposed to be that unbreakable.
Yeah, and this is sort of an augmentation of what you just said, but Chesterton says that a man of honor does not finally desert his family as a patriot does not finally desert his country. And I think that's a great analogy.
Yeah, that's a terrific, terrific analogy. Yeah.
There's a chapter on babies and birth control. And in that chapter, he compares eugenics with birth control. You know, eugenics, the science of being well-born, you think about that today and you shudder that our civilization at its highest levels embraced that for a long period of time. And it wasn't until it finally was exposed in the ghastly chambers of concentration camps that it vanished quietly into the night. Now the only thing you hear about eugenics is reparations for eugenics. But that was an idea that caught the fancy of the cultural elite. And now we have all kinds of atrocities that are catching the fancy of people who are in control. I mean, the fact that you can have top and bottom surgeries, the idea that you can change your sex, that you can decouple biological sex from gender when your biological sex is actually stamped in every cell of your body. It's part of your DNA.
Yeah, and it's all connected to accepting a natural process that we have completely not only interfered with, but we've rejected it as being natural. Chesterton, his book on eugenics, which is quoted from heavily some excerpts in this collection, that was something that dates back to the 19th century eugenics. In fact, the guy who came up with the word, the term, is Sir Francis Galton, who was a first cousin of Charles Darwin. And the idea was to apply the principles of evolution to human breeding so that we would breed the best possible specimen for the future in order to evolve correctly. Only certain people should be having children. And what everyone forgets about Planned Parenthood and Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood, is that the primary motivation for it at the beginning was eugenics. It was not free love. It was not so that everyone could just enjoy sex without the consequences. It was really to prevent certain people from having children. She set up her birth control clinics in ethnic neighborhoods, in Black neighborhoods, in Jewish neighborhoods, in ethnic Catholic neighborhoods of the people she did not want to see having children. And it was supposed to be just her mighty white Anglo-Saxons who were supposed to be breeding. Ironically, they were the ones practicing the birth control, and they breeded their own numbers down, ironically. But that was the purpose of it. It wasn't until what you mentioned, with the rise of Nazi Germany, were completely in cahoots with Planned Parenthood in terms of their philosophy and practice of eugenics, until what happened in the concentration camps was exposed, that the focus of Planned Parenthood then went to simply, we can't have poor people having babies. You know, birth control is going to prevent unwanted children. And it was a completely a different thing, but it was always about unwanted children, wasn't it?
And nobody wants to talk about this. I mean, we're not just talking about Margaret Sanger. We're talking about Teddy Roosevelt. We're talking about prestigious universities like Yale and what's that?
George Bernard Shaw. You know, he was a big eugenicist. Yep. Luther Burbank. Yeah.
So I want to press this a little bit because he's making a connection between birth control and many other things, not just eugenics, but also he's making a connection between birth control and how the Romans would eat five or six luxurious meals. And the only way that they could do that is to induce vomiting. And he says real birth control is self-control. So just as the Romans couldn't practice self-control, they wanted to indulge themselves, the same thing happens with those who don't have self-control. Instead, they initiate the medical process of birth control. By the way, this, what we're talking about right now, is hugely controversial, because I remember, I've been doing the Bible Answer Man broadcast for almost 40 years. I used to talk about, you know, people ask me, how come you have so many children? We have 12 children, 9 natural and 3 adopted children. And people would ask me about it. And I would say, well, we believe that life is a unique category that God opens and closes the womb. But I'd always have to amend my statement by saying, look, this is our personal belief, you know. And there were a lot of people, because I said it, they start having kids. I mean, I can tell you some pretty well-known Christian leaders that have big families because their wives were listening to what I had to say about it, but it was always controversial. Why is this not controversial in your mind, or Chesterton's mind? Why is real birth control sex control? And why is birth control, as Chesterton said, just a weak and wobbly and cowardly word?
Well, it's a weak and wobbly and cowardly word because you are interfering with a basic human natural act. And you are interfering basically with God's design when you're doing that. And it's, you're not being honest in what you're doing by calling it a different name. And it becomes an evil thing when you're disobeying God, really. He commanded the first couple to be fruitful. That's one of God's commands. And when we move away from God's commands, we will suffer, but we will only move away by lying to ourselves. And Chesterton points out, he says, God will not help us ignore evil. He will not help us ignore evil. He'll only give us the power to fight it.
So suppose Chesterton early on, Chesterton and his wife decided, we don't want to have any children right now, as they start taking birth control. They didn't know that they weren't able to have children anyway. And I think that's one of the points that he makes, a subtle point he makes. The births we prevent may be the births of the best and most beautiful children. Those we allow, the weakest or the worst. This is a unique category, and I'm glad to read this in Chesterton. I've always believed in this. God opens and closes the womb. In our case, he mostly opened it, but it is a unique category because life is the foundation of all human civilization.
Yeah, and you're not trusting God when you say it's going to be your decision who gets born and who doesn't get born. That's not letting our trust in God be manifested at all. And, you know, it was God's will for G.K. Chesterton and his wife to not have any children. And because of that, you know, we are all their children now, because he was able to be the great writer he was, because he would have probably been completely swept away with his children.
We'll have to stop here for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Join us again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with scholar Dale Ahlquist. Our firm commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you a copy of The Story of the Family, G.K. Chesterton on the Only State That Creates and Loves Its Own Citizens, edited by Dale Ahlquist. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters, life matters more.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, an ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org.